that moment when you realize you have mastered your wellness. When you've become so resilient, you can conquer any hiccup life throws. Yeah, well, me either. But I still ride unicorns. I'll teach you how to become a mindset master. You will learn how your habits and behavior affect your success in nutrition, exercise, relationships, organization, and so much more. It's your reality, and you need to do it your way. Self-care and self-love are anything but selfish. Take charge. Get excited. If not now, then when? Grab your espresso and get ready to talk all things wellness. It's time for Coach Couch and Coffee Radio with Coach and Wellness right now.
Hey, everybody. Oh, my gosh. I'm so excited today. Happy Monday. Happy Monday because it's almost over, maybe. I don't know for you. This is Coach Peggy, Coach Couch and Coffee Radio, and I am so stoked for today's show. I'm going to try to act like I'm not on a pot of coffee. Okay. So today's guest, first of all, I always bring my unicorn mug today just because of Miss Stephanie, who I know loves horses. I brought my Be a Unicorn in a Field of Horses mug. Aww. So did you bring your little coffee mug for here on Coffee Time?
I did.
You did. And you brought your beautiful rings on your finger that I just had to notice just because. I wore red for you, Stephanie.
Thank you. I so love that.
I love it too. So listen, you guys, today's subject is about a book, The Evolutionary Empath. I've got Reverend Stephanie Redfeather here, brilliant lady. But what I want to tell you about is I love empaths, but I worry about my empaths, and I sometimes am an empath too. But lots of my clients, I have to work with them on their abilities and how to protect themselves and all of that stuff. And we don't take care of ourselves enough, nonetheless, if you're an empath. So this subject, I'm just going to show you. Peeps, I marked the heck out of this bad boy. And I haven't read a book this fast since The Afterlife of Billy Finger. I don't know if you've read that, but I read that. I think this book is an amazing read. So let me just tell you about this beautiful lady first. So first of all, her book was just released on November 5th. And within like 24 hours, it went to number one on Amazon in her category, Shut the Front Door. I know I just aged myself with that. But it is amazing, and it's her life work, and she is an ordained shamanic minister. I just love that. She holds a bachelor's degree. This isn't going to make sense to you. She holds a bachelor's degree in applied mathematics and a master's and doctorate degree in shamanic studies from Venus Rising University. She's also a Mesa carrier in the Pachacuti Mesa traditions of Peru. Did I do okay?
You did.
Yay. And she studied with Don Oscar Miro
Quesada.
See, I even tried to, I'm like, oh. Okay. And she also, bear with me, 10 years in the military. We're going to wrap this around. You're going, is this the same gal? There's one girl on the show. Okay. And then she also is the founder of Blue Star Temple, which we're going to chat with you about that and what she has to offer there towards the tail of the show. So Stephanie, welcome. Honor to have you here, my love.
Thank you so much.
How are you doing today?
I'm good.
Are you good?
Yes.
I know I've been watching you, taking care of you the last couple of weeks, and you were not feeling very well. And this book came to you, let your baby go, your little bird's flying, and then you got sick, and then the baby bird went. But you're feeling better.
I am, for the most part. Yeah, I still have a little tickle, but I'm doing much better.
My little empath is feeling better. So, hey, I think the best way to start this show, before we even explain what an empath is and what we're going to do about it, I really would like to see if you could just start us off with your story in a non-confusing
way. In a small nutshell.
And make us feel like we've not gone crazy. But it is going to all tie together, and it's hard because we don't want to give a bunch away, because in the middle of all this, you have all of your self-discovery. So take it away and let us know a little bit about you.
Yeah. I was a very creative and intuitive child. I was a little empath before I knew what that was. My mom said that I could always tell when other people were unhappy or having a bad day. And so I would instinctively, you know, hug them or crawl up in their lap or somehow reach out to try to make them feel better, which I still do today, minus the lap part.
Just in case we run into each other in the airport, I just want to make
sure. Your lap. So, I was very sensitive. I went to a creative and performing arts school. So for those of you that remember the TV show Fame, I went to a school like that. And then fast forward a few years and I get a math degree and go into the Air Force. So, you know, that part of my life is very much like, which one of these is not like the other, you know?
And running into your empath world or from is where really your story really does show a beautiful example of how this can roll out.
Yeah.
An average
and
person.
Yeah. And in all of there is my parents' divorce at age 8. And then me choosing to move in with my dad and stepmom for high school, which is where my nature started to hide. And in hindsight, the way I describe it when I look back is, you know, our empathic qualities really peg the feminine side of the house, the feminine qualities and aspects. And so as I started coming into puberty in my teenage years, and I just moved in with my dad and stepmom, and by the way, my stepmom and I fought all the time and had karma, and, you know, so it was a very abusive relationship, emotionally, mentally abusive. And so the way I describe it is that my masculine came in and said, I'll save you, to the best of his ability, being 13, you know, at the time,
right.
And took my feminine and put her in a box and put her away. And in my high school years, you can chart the feminine going down and the masculine going up. And by the end of it, I'm trying out for the Air Force Academy and choosing to get a degree in mathematics and going to an engineering school and becoming an Air Force officer.
I can picture you during PT. You're like, you know, you got your rucksack, or you doing your push-ups, and you're like, I just love everyone around me. I want to talk about their struggles. Can I carry your backpack?
Honest to God, in one of our assignments, I went through Air Force ROTC, and we had to practice briefing. And people are briefing about military aircraft and strategies and war and this and that. And I ended up talking about it was something more like communication skills or something a little more psychology, because that was as close as I could get to what felt comfortable to me. So.
Can I fix you and make you feel better while I ignore my own needs? Oh my gosh. So first of all, can I ask you something that's a little off road and I hadn't asked you if I can, where the Red Feather name, so did that come from working with Oscar?
It didn't, not directly, but he created a program where some of the elders in the community, he passed the mantle of teaching on to some sanctioned teachers. And so there was a couple here in Kansas City that were mentors of mine, and I was receiving a healing session with Gary, the man of the couple. And I'm standing on a buffalo hide. He's taking me through some stuff, and all of a sudden I'm having a vision. And part of that vision is I see a Native person, but with a full headdress, but all of the feathers are red. And it just occurred to me, I'm like, I think I'm being given a name. I'm like, Gary, this is what I'm seeing. And he confirmed it all. And we did ceremony to anchor that name. So in spiritual circles, that was the name I went by for a while. And then when I got married in 2011, I took it on as my legal last name.
That's fantastic. Okay, good. I was hoping that you'd be okay with me asking without asking before asking. Okay. That's a fantastic. So how did you go through the thing that sticks out to me the most is, as we listen, our listeners and viewers are out there, is I really want to get through the how you felt to the you're not crazy, like that bump there, because I want our listeners to really hear and get into the meat of this. I did tell you before, I want you back on the show. You guys who are listening, this subject is so meaningful and deep, and I know you'll resonate with it, that I'm going to have Stephanie back the first part of the year when she launches her audio books to this. So that's going to be fantastic. So today, I want you to listen to what she is saying in regards to what an empath is. Are there any signals or signs that you have or anyone around you? And just sit in that fact that, you know, I might not be crazy and they might not either. Mm-hmm. So start with that.
Yeah. So what I want to say is, when I started to write this book, my spirit guides only gave me one directive, and that was create a definition. To which I promptly went, okay, sure, yeah, no pressure, all right.
Wow.
But I did. And you know, so in common vernacular, the word empath has been around for, you know, a few decades. In general, the sort of daily common definition is a highly sensitive person.
Okay.
But there's so much more to it than that. And I spend two entire chapters in my book defining what an empath is, multiple aspects of it. And I distill it down into a paragraph. Like, I couldn't make it any shorter than that because the definition needed to include everything that it did. Right. And what I'm getting to is, there is no one size fits all definition. There are five qualities that I identified, and people are going to express some of them strongly and maybe others not so much. So they're all on a sliding scale. And for some people, if their coping mechanisms cause them to repress all of this, they may read this list and go, you're crazy. This is
absolutely
not me at all, because they're so disconnected from that part of themselves that they don't even recognize that.
Their masculine self is in the house.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. So do you want me to
oh, I would love
time for the five.
Oh, okay. Please. That's yes. I'd love to hear them.
So this is not the entire definition, but this is a big chunk of it. And it's going to give people real access to comparing it to their own life experiences.
Yes.
So the first quality is we have a very strong ability to merge with and absorb the energies of other life forms. So not just humans, but animals, plants, Mother Earth, you know, anything that's sentient. And this stems from our very open energy field. The second quality is that we have a highly sensitive nervous system.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, by definition, nervous systems are sensitive, but it's kind of like we got a 2-for-1 special.
Right.
And so it makes it easy for us to get overstimulated and overwhelmed. And it really requires radical self-care, not just self-care, radical self-care to be able to manage all of that. The third quality is that we have the ability to perceive subtle energies, the unseen realms, information stored in the energy field of other beings. And so this is what predisposes us to having wicked intuition, sometimes having premonitions, seeing the dead, accessing the Akashic records, working with clients and just knowing what somebody's feeling, you know, so just on and on and on, astral traveling and shamanic journeying and all of these sorts of access to other dimensions and other worlds and subtle energies. The fourth quality is that we place a premium on peace and harmony. Mm-hmm. And that's peace and harmony in our own self, in our relationships, and in our environment. So when we're unconscious yeah. of this aspect, we tend to put our own needs last, because we don't want to rock the boat. We want to yeah. keep the status quo. This can also, like in our environment, I know for me, I'm constantly tweaking stuff, you know, because everything has an energy field and it's like, oh, mm-hmm. no, the tweak, 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 you know.
I have a really close person in my life who's a strong empath who inherited it from my lovely grandmother who has since passed on. But I call it the I'm fine. So it's just those words that are hidden behind the just suppressing everything. So I resonated mm-hmm. with that instead of shifting and doing things to settle. It's I'm fine. Just
yeah.
disconnect.
Right.
Okay. And then you got number five.
And number five is our big open hearts and a desire to be of service. Mm-hmm. And so many of us are led to professions of service. So much of my tribe are massage therapists and energy healers and nurses and hospice workers and therapists and all of that kind of stuff. But if we're not conscious of it, this is the aspect that will cause us to put everybody else first and put ourselves last, and overgive until there's nothing left in the tank. And there's also underneath all of that, and I go more into the book about this programming of service equals sacrifice.
Exactly. I know. And that's where I connected to how, you know, we always say nurses take poor, you know, poorly care of themselves, and the physician, really the love language of acts of service all sit in that bucket that you just said. And in my world, that's, I mean, I say self-care so much. It's just, and it's one of those concepts I cannot embed or throw at people enough. So as an empath, that destructive physical, that manifestation of just even having those abilities, and then all of a sudden you're in a giving, I mean, the drain, the takedown's got to be. Mm-hmm. You've probably had that happen a million times.
Yes. And especially getting older, you know, and facing mm-hmm. my limitations and that sort of thing. I think part of being young is we, you know, our recovery time is faster and we can really deplete ourselves. And the next day we're like, whoa, you know, so I mean, I have been like a high energy, high intensity person for a long time. And so the last several years, my body has said, sit your bleep down.
Yes.
And deal with some of your limitations. And so self-care has blossomed into multiple layers. And I've gotten a lot of new tools and visualizations and mindsets for managing that in myself and helping other people manage it.
That's exciting. That's why when you come back in January after the new year, I think it would be so amazing for us to really focus on to radically deal with self-care. And so we can just dive deeper into that first part of the year. That'd be amazing. So do you think, I mean, are we born an empath? Do we come back wanting to be an empath? Like, tell me your...
Yeah, in my belief system, we are making decisions when we're in spirit form about what the major movements are, the major components of the life we're getting ready to incarnate into. And so one of the pieces of my definition, and I haven't really seen anybody else talk about this or highlight this aspect, is that being an empath is a choice we made at a soul level. And it's because there is great significance to being an empath. We're not an anomaly. There are more and more of us that are incarnating every day. And we are here because it's time. And humanity.
That's what you were saying, is that it is time. So it's not just that we're learning more about it and speaking more openly. I mean, it's essential. It's time.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, we are in a process of ascension in consciousness. And I believe that empaths are here with the express cosmic mission of helping humanity ascend to the next level of consciousness, because we come in with a different energetic physiology. We come in with slightly different values and perceptions. We are what we are evolving towards. And all of us who are here collectively right now are the empathic Big Bang. And in the movie Moneyball, they have the quote, the first guy through the wall always gets bloody. And so collectively, all of us who are here right now are the first ones through the wall getting bloody.
Yeah, that's
so,
right.
So the empaths that are here right now are especially courageous souls, knowing that they're coming in the first wave, being the front runners.
And you got to, and sticking together and being as transparent as possible. You know, I think about the younger empaths, of which obviously you were, and not knowing what it was or how to name it or anything like that. How did it affect, or how would you say, let's just throw it to an empath that's out there listening. How can they know how it's affecting their relationships, even personally or professionally? And is there a tip you would give them today if they go, whoa, I think I'm an empath and I'm in a relationship that blank. What would be your dart you'd throw?
Just because this is the way things are, when we don't know we're an empath, we are an unconscious empath, which means we're probably living from the shadow aspects of these five qualities, which usually include things like codependence, not knowing where you end and the next person begins, losing yourself in relationship, having no sense of yourself, not knowing who you are, you know, because our gift is to merge with another. What that means is that it's challenging for us to know who we are and to stay centered in our own sovereign self. And so if you think you're an empath, you might want to look at your relationship through the lens of, Am I giving myself away? Am I codependent? Am I trying to please everybody else? Is there a little voice inside of me going, I'm not listening to
it. Or dependent on other things, you know, trying to dumb that down, for lack of a better term, substances or abuses of self and not
exactly.
Seriously. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
That's, it's got to be, you know, the book is so helpful. I mean, when you first pick it up, you're like, you know, this is heavier than that. You know, this is a toolkit. First of all, the whole second half of this book is an extreme how to dissect things down, tools and strategies to use. And you got to go get it. And I get no percentage of Stephanie's book to say that. Bible.
I just get to sit in your lap.
you come sit in my lap while I just brag about your book, and you can pat my back. But seriously, I just want everybody to go out and get it, go through the whole page, the whole beginning part of the book, and realize that you're not crazy. Even if, I mean, you don't have to have all five attributes that, you know, it's like just even one piece of it and peeling it back and diving into those shadows is a lot of energy, a lot of work. We need to hang out with like-minded people. And girl, I mean, I don't even know how to finish this up. Look at the hour.
I mean, I know the unspoken subtitle to this book is Life Skills for an Evolving Species.
Yes.
So really, whether you identify as empath or not, everything that I offer in this book is good, solid life skills.
Well, and for even the non-empath, because it's, you're either going to know one, need to deal with one in a relationship with one, or you are one. And so that's what I love about it. So it's, you've got to buy it, just saying. And I need you to tell people, because everybody, I can hear the emails and see the emails now. Oh my gosh, you were just getting into the subject and then the show is over. I know. It's just 30 minutes today. Gosh. But tell everybody where they can find you. Tell us anything you want to tell us about your Blue Star. It's yours for a second.
Yes,
here.
Thank you. My website is bluestartemple.org. I currently have a weekly blog, so I've got lots of articles if you want to read more. I am in the middle of a 12-episode podcast. And episode 8 just dropped today. So it's a weekly podcast. So that is a great resource to find out more, to go to these podcasts.
Yes.
You know, I've got a video home study program. I've got workbooks, and I have so many things in development in my head that are coming for the next year, because I really feel that my gift and where spirit is leading me is to create all of these different tools and resources for people on this journey of awakening and discovering themselves as an empath. If you live anywhere near Kansas City or not, and you don't mind traveling, I have a live workshop December 6th through 8th in Kansas City. So that's on my website. So, and I also just want to mention that the book includes 8 really beefy guided meditations.
What more could you want? It's like an encyclopedia. I am so thrilled to have had you. And I feel like I just took one sip having you here. So we're going to have you back. You guys, email me with any questions directly at coachpeggy@3wellnesspillars.com. If you'd like me to reach out to Stephanie in any way, I will. And I just want to give you a quick heads up. My December dash crazy sale. So you have 4 one-on-ones with me virtually. We'll go through any goal that you're working on. $199. I mean, come on. That's about a giveaway. So email me as well and let me know on that. And the holidays are coming up. Take care of yourself. And I am so glad to have had you on the show, Stephanie. We'll talk really soon.
Thank you.
Okay. See you later, guys.
Thank you for listening to Coach Couch and Coffee Radio with me, Coach Peggy Wells. Did you hear something that made you go, or have an aha moment? I live for those. If not, we will get you next time. I will be back every first and third Monday at 3 p.m. Pacific to tough love you to become smarter, stronger, braver, healthier, and happier. Duh. I will be back with a barrel of positivity, and you never know when a guest might pop in. There is no time for excuses. So don't forget to bring your coffee and an open mind as we talk all things wellness on Coach Couch and Coffee Radio with me, Coach Peggy Wells. Now go grab a ray of sunshine.